Turn this morning with me in your Bibles to Judges, chapter 16. Verse 20. Judges 16, verse 20. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as before and at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for your love, your watch care over us. God, you're just a wonderful God. You love us so much. And Lord, there's those here this morning that need to hear you speak to their heart. And God, we just ask that you speak to our heart at our point of need. Lord, that we might live our lives pleasing to you. We give you all the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. If there's anything that's essential for a Christian life, it must be the presence and the power of God upon your life. We need the presence of God, and we need the power of God if we're going to live a life that is pleasing to God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, "Be filled with the Spirit of God." Be filled with the Spirit. It is important that our lives, it is essential that our lives are filled with the Spirit. If we're going to be successful in the Christian life, I want us to look at this man called Samson. The tragedy of all tragedies of a Christian life is the absence of God's power without us even knowing it. You see, Samson was a young man. His life was one, I'll go back and just say, his life was one that it was appointed by God. Samson was fully consecrated and separated to God even before he was born. Even before he was born out of his mother's womb, God had anointed or consecrated and separated Samson. It was a life given by God. You could say that Samson was literally God sent. He had never been born, much less been used of God, if it had not been God's plan and purpose even before he was born. In verse 5, if you go back and look in verse 5, "And the Lord of the Philistines came upon her and said to her, 'Entice him and find out where his great strength lies.'" Where is his great strength? God had given him this great strength, and he had begun to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines even before he was born. His life and his purpose was to serve God as a child of God and deliver them from their oppression. Now, man, that's wonderful, isn't it? That was his call. In each of us, we are born to serve God. He is a glorious God. He's a wonderful God. And our lives are called to serve God. It's God's purpose in our life. It was a God-given life. Not only that, it was a life given to God. An angel told his mother, "You're going to conceive and bear a son." And then the angel gave her instructions about the behavior during the time she was pregnant. "Ladies," he said, "don't smoke. Bad for your baby." He told her, "Listen, do not drink. Do not touch something unclean. Don't shave the hair of his head. This young life that I am about to give you, he is set apart by me. I want him to live like this." And his behavior and his mother's behavior was given even before he was born. Samson was a God-sanctified man with a very special purpose in life even before he was born. Isn't that amazing? Now, what purpose was his? He was appointed a Nazarite by birth. The word simply means he was to be separate. It speaks of a devoted life consecrated to God. One who makes a vow. One who makes a vow of separation. One who is consecrated to God. One of abstinence from fermented drink. He wasn't supposed to even go near that stuff. One who was to be away from, not touch anything unclean or a dead body or something like that. He could not do that. And then I said he couldn't cut his hair. That was a Nazarite. And they lived differently than other people. And they really looked differently than other people. But God had set him apart. Now the Nazarite and the Nazarite vow was usually for a period of so many time, so much or so long. But in Samson's case, God said he was to be a Nazarite forever. Not just a short time, but all his life, he was to be that Nazarite, separated to God. In other words, his life belonged strictly to God. Now, let me tell you something. If you are a born-again Christian, you've accepted Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of your life, you belong to God. You are a child of God, not for just while you're here in this room, but your whole life belongs to God. It says in the Bible in 1 Corinthians, "Know you not that you are the temple of God?" Your life should be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And it also tells you something else. You're not your own. You belong to God. You were bought with a price. Our wonderful Savior we heard sung about, oh, what a Savior, died upon the cross for you. For God so loved you that he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross. Somebody had to pay for the sin. You and I could not do that because we're not perfect, are we? We're sinners. We need to be saved. Jesus Christ, God's Son, was the perfect Lamb, the Lamb without blemish, the Lamb who knew no sin, who went willingly to the cross of Calvary and gave his life on the cross of Calvary for your sin and mine. It says we were bought with a price. You're not your own. You belong to God. I belong to God. And we are to live our lives that way. From the day you are saved till the day you die, your life belongs to God. Therefore, we need to serve him. We need to give him our lives. We need to glorify him with our lives. If you have not been saved, you're lost in your sin. You want a Savior. God is that Savior. He died for you. All you have to do is come trusting him to forgive you of your sin. Turn away from that sin. Go the opposite way from where you're going now. Our lives one now without Christ, we're living in sin. The Bible says we need to repent and turn our lives around. Head back towards the cross of Calvary where Christ died there. Give our lives to him. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. And God will say, you're my child now. Go and sin no more. Love him. Work for him. Oh, Samson's life was one that was appointed by God. Not only that, let's move on. It was one anointed by God. In 23 and 24 and 25, now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our God has delivered us into the hands. Samson is our enemy. Samson grew up, and God began to bless Samson's life. And the Bible says the Spirit of God moved over his life, and he experienced God's power in many ways. Now, when I think of Samson, I think of that old big, strong man, Hercules, you know, kind of guy's got muscles bulging out all over his body. He's able to stand up. Man, he's a monster of a man. It doesn't say that about Samson, but I just visualize Samson as that kind of man. But the Bible says it was God's strength and God's power in his life. We think of Samson as the man who barehanded took the lion and just ripped that lion apart. Now, folks, that's a big feat. We think of the man who killed 1,000 men with a jawbone. Have you ever thought about that? Not, I don't care if it was a man that was like Hercules and lifted weights and all that. 1,000 men rush upon him. He's going to get whooped. But not Samson. Because the Bible says the Spirit of God was his power. You see? 1,000 men. I was thinking about that this morning. I was sitting out on the front porch and I was just thinking, boy, if I'd have been that 999th man, I'd have said, I think I don't mess with him. He's already got that many laying at his feet. I think I'd have been a little bit on the chicken side and turned and run. Man, what a man he was to do all of that. And then the Bible tells us that he lifted the gates. Now, he's not the little doors like we see at the back, but he lifted the gates of the city and just walked off with them. Ripped them off the hinges. What a power. But the Bible says it's the Spirit of God. You see, that was the source of his power. In chapter 14, verse 6, man, it tells you. Look what it says. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. Oh, and he tore the line apart. And verse 19, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he killed 30 men. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in chapter 15, verse 19. The Spirit of God was his strength all the way through his life. Now let me tell you something. If we're going to accomplish much for God, it has to be through the Spirit of the Lord in our lives. In and of ourselves, we're nothing. We cannot do anything without being filled with the Spirit of God. I was just praying while the organist in the choir, Lord, if you don't move in this service, I can't do nothing. It's got to be God's Spirit moving up on this building and touching your lives, or otherwise it's just another message. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit. And do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Every area of our Christian life, our strength must be from God's Word and God's power and God's Spirit. That was the source of his strength. Now, the secret of his strength was what? The secret of his strength, it tells him, was the Nazarite vow that he made to God. In Judges 16, verse 5, it says, entice him and see where his strength is. We know the story. Delilah had come and flashed her beautiful eyes and her body at him, and she was trying to say, Samson, where do you get all this power? And he said, oh, you know, it's this place and that. And every time they'd fall upon him, and you know what? He'd just jump up and whip everybody. Like he had done many times before. Oh, Samson, you know, you need to tell me the source of your power, where you get your strength from. His strength was from God. And the vow that he had made to God, he was supposed to live a clean life. He was supposed to live a committed life and a one that was consecrated to God. And let me tell you something. That is what we're supposed to do as Christians. Every day we live a clean life for God. Every day we've got to be a committed life to God. Every day we've got to live a separated life unto God. It's all God living in and through us. You see, folks, we cannot do it. Man, somebody said, if I can just live the Christian life. Well, you can't live the Christian life apart from God. No matter how you try, you cannot do it. It has to be God. Fully surrender your life, confess your sin, and ask for God to come in and fill you with that Spirit of God. He was anointed and he was appointed by God. He was also abandoned by God. Chapter 16, I read it a while ago, where he finally told the lie. Oh, where his strength lies. He said, well, you don't tell the truth about it. Here's my power. If you cut my hair, then I'll be just like everybody else. You know, that was the most expensive haircut you ever have. And the tragedy of all tragedies in the Christian life is to not have God's power in and on your life. It's expensive, folks. When we do not live according to God's word and we do not do the things God wants us to do in our life, we're headed for trouble. We're headed for a fall in our life, because if we do not live according to God's word, it'll cause us loss in our life. We lose the fellowship with God. We lose our strength. We lose our testimony. We lose our lives, because God wants the best for our life, and we live a lot lower than what God wants. The cause of his loss is the secret in his Nazarite vow. And it stands to reason, when you lose that power, you have broken that vow. Listen, Samson, his life went on to decline spiritually. Everywhere he went, he violated that vow. Look at 14 verse 5. We'll be through in a moment. Just hang in here. It says, so Samson went down to Timnath with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnath. What? He's gone straight to the vineyards. Man, he's not supposed to be near those things. No strong drink, and he's headed into the vineyards. And then he rips that line apart. That line is dead. He doesn't tell his parents that he did that. He comes back by later, and there's honey in there. He reaches in the dead carcass. What is he doing? He's violating his vows. Folks, you cannot violate God's vows in your life. When you give your life to Christ, whether you know it or not, you're asking God to take over your life. You've made a vow with God. You've made a commitment to God. And God is faithful if we will be faithful. And if we're not faithful, hey, he says, I will not hear your prayers if you had iniquity in your heart. No wonder we've got so much weakness in our churches and in our lives. We're violating the vows. And then he killed that lion and got that honey out of that carcass. And then here, he's told Delilah, and she's cut his hair while they slept. They cut his hair, and she hollered there upon him. And you know what? The sad thing is, God had departed, and he didn't even know it. Folks, let me tell you something. In the majority of our Christian living today, the Spirit of God has departed out of our churches and we don't even know it. Isn't that sad? We come and, oh, we worship as usual. We sing and we praise God and we read our Bibles and we listen to our Sunday school classes, and the Spirit of God is not even there, because we've broken all our vows to God. Isn't that sad? In most churches, it's just church as usual. A lot of hype, a lot of shouting, a lot of dancing, a lot of music, and just church as usual. It's sad to lose the Spirit of God and not know it in your life, but the majority of our lives are like that. We don't even know that God has left that Spirit. It's no power. I didn't say you lost your salvation, but you lose your power. You lose your effectiveness. The consequence is the loss. Look, as long as the Spirit of God was upon Samson, they were unable to conquer him. But now, the Spirit is gone, and the Bible says he's a victim rather than the victor. They took him. Let me tell you, they took him, and they bound him, and they gouged his eyes out. Man, I wonder what he was thinking. That was an expensive haircut, wasn't it? Take something and stick in your eyes and just gouge those eyes out so he's blind. And then they put him down in the grind mill to grind with the oxes. You know, he's there in the grind mill pushing over and over, grinding. Man, all started with going down to the vineyards at Timnath. The mighty Samson is now a weakling, abandoned by God, and he didn't even know it. Friends, we cannot afford to live powerless Christian lives. You can't afford to do that. You're going to lose in the end. You're going to lose. You're going to live a life of regret. When you get to the end of your days, man, it's regret. Lord, I wished I'd have done this for you, but I didn't. I want to live a life that's pleasing to God when I get to the end of my life. I want God to say, "Welcome home, thy good and faithful servant." I want to be able to say like Paul, "I am ready. I fought the fight. I finished the course that God has given me. I finished in power. And now all that's left is for the righteous crown and the righteous judge." Do you have God's power this morning? Think about that. Do you have God's power this morning? If not, my prayer is that you will hunger and thirst for that power in your life. You'll so get into the Word of God that nothing can separate you, that you will come into this house and study the Word seriously and be filled with the Spirit of God. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the first step is you need to come to Him and say, "Lord, I want you to come into my heart. I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I'm lost." There's no shame in admitting that, for all of us have to realize that. We're lost without Christ, but I need a Savior. And Lord, you're the Savior, and I realize that, and I come to you humbly, saying, "I want you as my Lord and Savior." You know what He would do? He will come into your life. He will come into life. Don't you try to clean it up before you come. You just come and let Him clean it up. That's what He's in the business for. He's fixing our lives. He died on the cross for you, and that's the first decision you have to make, is to come to Jesus Christ just as you are. The second thing is, give Him your life and let Him work through you and be filled with His Spirit. Get involved in a Bible class. Man, we have one here Tuesday. We have a bunch of them Sunday to come. We will be having a Bible study here in October the 4th through the 7th with Brother Ed Etheridge. Come every single day and every night. Come. Don't let the world pull you away from that. You need that power in your life. The second thing, if you do not have God's power, have you lost God's power? Have you lost it? Some of us have lost it and we don't even know it, do we? Like Samson, we need to get back and seek God until we find that power. Now let me tell you the rest of the story, Paul Harvey. It doesn't end with Samson at the grind. They're going to make fun of him. They're going to have a big rally. They have the big temple and everything's there. And all the dignitaries have come, and they're going to look, all these Philistine people, they're going to make fun of Samson, the Israelite. They've captured him. This one man who's killed thousands, this man who's strong, we can't overcome. We have conquered him now, and we're going to make fun of him. And he comes, and they bind him to the pillars there that hold up the temple. And he said, Lord, he was so ashamed. He said, Lord, if you'll just come into my life, give me your power one more time. One more time, Lord, I'll use it to destroy these people that are making fun of you. And God fills his life one more with his power, and he asked a little boy, he said, little boy, would you put me between the pillar that holds this place up? And he did. And with God's power, he brought it all down on himself and everyone else. He died. But he killed more than all before. In the name of God, God filled him with his power. Folks, have you lost his power today? To get that back, all you have to do is say, Lord, I started out walking with you, but somewhere down the line, I've lost that zeal. I've lost the power. I've lost my enthusiasm for the Word of God. You know, be honest. Lord, I don't come like I should. Lord, I don't read my Bible like I should. Lord, would you fill me one more time? Would you give back to me what I once had? And you know what? God says if we confess our sin, he was faithful to forgive us and cleanse us. And you can get back filled with the power of God again, get back into the Word. Now, that's a commitment. You don't do it half-heartedly. If you're not going to be honest with him, he's not going to fill you. Don't come down and just kneel at the altar for show. I mean, you need to be serious with God. This is a serious thing, folks. If you're not going to be serious with God, he's not going to, he knows that. You can't fool him. But if your heart really wants to be right with God, oh, he knows that too. And let me tell you something. He will use you mightily if you'll let him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your power and your spirit. Lord, make your presence known to us right now. Fill us with your power and presence. And if there's someone here today that's lost, may they come trusting you as Lord and Savior. Lord, if they really desire to be saved, let them come. Lord, if there's those here looking for a church home and this is the place you've led them, Lord, let them step out and come, and I'll be glad to share with them how they can become a member of this church. Lord, if there's members here, born-again people who have lost the power and they want it back, let them come and kneel at the altar and just get that right with you. We'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.